Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosper, your host. And with me today, I have the amazing and talented Claire Barton. Hey, Claire.
Hi, how are you going?
Fabulous. We have been trying to arrange this for so many months, Claire, haven't we?
We have.
Little glitches and both busy jet setting everywhere. So it's really nice to be able to finally catch up and do this, because you've got such valuable information that I really want my listeners to be able to be able to hear and learn from you as well. So a little bit about Claire. Claire is a planning and productivity business coach and mentor, and she is a fellow podcaster and a writer and a mum of two. And Claire, your podcast is called this, and you like to be called that recovering perfectionist.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. And a wine lover. Fantastic. You are my friend immediately. I did a little Instagram post. I was out to dinner and theatre last night, and I said I was grateful for wet wine. It was
absolutely. Oh man.
Now you've done a lot of stuff though, you know, and I could read off your bio, but do you want to tell me a little bit more about what you've been doing in business for the last so many years and sort of what got you into doing personal coaching as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again so much for having me on. And yes, you're right. I have done a lot of things. This part of my business officially started about 2.5 years ago, and I was very inarticulate when I started, and I wasn't exactly sure where it was going to lean to, and I really had this kind of drive to start a business and do work that was very aligned to my natural gifts and things that, you know, felt a bit easier. I also had businesses as a remedial massage therapist and a baby massage instructor, and I used to do people's CVs and job coaching and all of that sort of thing. So this is actually my fourth business. But it sort of came from a lot of things. I just had my second child, who's now almost three. And I really didn't want to go back to the corporate world. My husband was working FIFO. I was really enjoying my social life while I had mat leave and all of that sort of thing. So I guess there was a lot of things that kind of conspired to come together so that I could actually start this business. And I had a beautiful and still have a beautiful business coach and mentor who is very much about, you know, coaching you to work within your skills and that sort of thing and your gifts rather than, you know, things that you think is just going to make money and whatnot. So it was a really beautiful timing for me to have someone who was mentoring me in that sense. So, So when I sort of first started, I literally started by saying, well, hi, my name's Claire. I'm really good at organizing and planning. So do you need anything organized or planned? Like that was it. I really didn't know where it was going to lead and what it looked like and all that sort of thing. So I dabbled in doing VA work for a few months and very quickly realized that wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it was a really interesting foray into the online business world and, you know, understanding a heap of new programs and how it worked in that sort of sense. So that was really great. And last year, 2016, I really call my year of experimentation. I really just tried everything. I did pretty much said yes to everything. So that's part of where the recovering perfectionist has come from, to be honest, because I also use that interchangeably with recovering yes girl, control freak, people pleaser, all that sort of thing. And I am recovering. I'm not recovered. It's still definitely very much a process. But I literally said yes to pretty much everything. If someone asked me if I could do something, I was kind of like, not really, but I'll give it a try. So again, it meant that I upskilled very quickly. I learned a lot about a lot of things very quickly. I very quickly learned what I didn't want to be doing. So that was really great. And then this year has really been a consolidation of all of that sort of thing. So I realized, you know, last year that I was just doing a little bit too much and just trying to squeeze too much in and not really getting out of it what I wanted to financially or time-wise. And I was kind of, you know, spending less time with my kids and all of that sort of thing. So completely different to why I wanted to be in business in the first place. So, yeah, this year's been really kind of focusing on a few key areas, which is helping people, especially in more established businesses, get more streamlined in their business, put some what I would call hacks and apps and tools and that sort of thing into their business so that they can also leverage their time and get more of the right things done and less of the wrong things done, or less of the things that aren't actually improving their business done. I've focused a lot on content as well. So my own content in terms of the podcast and the blog, social media, all that sort of thing. And now I'm doing a lot of mentoring and strategy for other people's content strategies as well. I started a meetup this year, which is Business by Recovering Perfectionists. Obviously, the podcast and the YouTube channel are going really well. And I've started doing a lot more in-person workshops. So yeah, there's still a lot going on, but it's definitely a lot more niched, I suppose, in terms of what I do. I'm not just saying yes to everything, but I know everyone who does those things, so I just refer.
and that's really helpful. And that's the thing about getting into business, is being able to meet the right, know you can refer people to the right people who'll be able to do the right job for them. Absolutely. As well. I love that you did that, say yes to everything, though. I did a speech in an international contest not that long ago, and part of that was just say yes to everything. And it was more to say, get out of your comfort zone and referred to the Jim Carrey movie,
The Yes Man,
and it's quite hilarious. But it does really challenge you, and it gives you that opportunity to do things that you would normally think, no, I can't do that. But if you just do it, and then you can step back as you did and look at that from a different perspective, figure out where you want to go. That's certainly. And a lot of the listeners are very much in the position where they're in a life-changing situation. They may still be working a corporate and have got involved in a multi-level marketing, or they're, working corporate and they've got ideas for their own business, or they've just gone into their own business and, it's really scary and there's issues that'll come up that will have them scurrying back to a job, and this is the exact thing that the listeners are gaining, is all this information from experts like yourself who can help them go through that and feel like they're not on your own. So it's great that they know that you're in that same position, because when you start having some time off after working solidly, you just go, this is really nice. I like a lifestyle as well.
Absolutely. I think when I was probably about a year ago, and I was working with a different intuitive business coach, which is another interesting story in itself. But she said, well, what's the purpose of this? Why did you initially get into business? And, of course, I rattled off all the usual, I want more time with my family, I want to earn more income, I don't want to be earning someone else money, blah, 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 all those sort of things. But one big thing that kind of really motivated me was that I was seeing a lot of people, family and friends and that sort of thing, who year after year kept coming up with these amazing ideas and these brilliant either inventions or business models or business ideas or whatever that were going to be fantastic for not only them but for the community or for their customers or whatever. But year after year, they weren't doing anything about it. And I was getting a bit frustrated, like, come on, let's just do it. Like, I'm very, obviously internally motivated, and I'm a big doer. I do get a lot of stuff done and I squeeze a lot into my time, but I was getting kind of frustrated, like, come on, let's do it. I'll help you. I want to see you succeed, because I can see how excited you are and I can see how much this would benefit you and your family, but also everyone else and their families as well. But it just wasn't happening, because they didn't have either, they felt like they didn't have the tools or the skills or whatever to get started, or they didn't know exactly what the end product needed to look like and all of that sort of thing. And at the same time, I was having a lot of people say, how do you get it all done, Claire? You've got like three businesses and two little kids and your husband works away and you're always busy and you're always out socializing and you've got, I always been very almost strict about having some me time as well. So I, can kind of balance all of that. And I thought, right, enough of this. Like, my answer to that question was always like, well, you just do it. You just do it. It's not like you don't need a strategy about it. But then enough people sort of said this, I thought, this actually isn't that simple for some people. It doesn't come as naturally or something. So I was like, right, this is what I'm going to do, because I want to help these people know that they don't have to have everything worked out. They don't have to have 100% of the plan totally figured out before you can get started. You can kind of just bumble along and experiment and try things out. And if it doesn't work, you stop doing it. And if it does work, you keep doing it. Like, it's not, you don't have to have the 50,000 page business strategy unless you're going for a business loan or a grant or something. I don't even think you need to do big business plans. Do a 90-day plan or a one-month plan. Just get through the short term so you can start seeing some progress and start, you know, gaining some confidence and that sort of thing. And it's so much more valuable than just sitting around thinking about it for years on end. So, I think that's kind of where it came from. And I'm still, you can hear, I get really passionate. I'm sitting here with my arms waving around in the air because I get pretty ranty about this sort of thing. And I just see so many people with amazing ideas that I passionately want to help them get out into the world for their own sake as well as for the people who would use their business or their service. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
No, look, I'm totally with you on that. It's just, and I'm very much like you, just that structured day, structured mind. I don't know what it is, but you get a lot done and people will be the same thing. How the heck do you do all the things you do? You're turning up everywhere and doing things. But it's, and so what seems easy for you and me, it's really good for us to recognize that isn't easy for other people and to be able to assist them to do that and to have that structure and set it out. I love that small doses, you know, that just take the step and just take the next step and take the next step. Because as you said, sometimes when you're looking at it as a 5-year plan, it's frightening
and
it's really hard to, you know, really get motivated. Then it's demotivating often.
Yep. And look, I think, you know, when I first started my first business back in 2011, I'd worked in corporate and in business management since I was 19. And I really thought that the only way to start a business was to have, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in the bank so that you could basically blow it all and hope for the best. I thought that you needed to have, you know, the marketing strategy, the business strategy, the operations strategy, the finance strategy, all these big 100-page documents all figured out, because that's what was on the abr.gov website or whatever it was. You really couldn't get started unless you had all of that figured out. And you know what it's like, you get to about page 10 and you think, stuff this, I'm going to go and have some wine because it's just too hard. And if in the case that you actually do put together this beautiful business plan and you know what your 10-year structure is or your 10-year strategy, you get a year down the track and think, oh my God, that's totally, you know, you kind of go in a different direction. And I think the only way to know what direction you want to go in is to just start somewhere, and you'll very quickly work out if it's the right one or the wrong one, or if it needs to be tweaked or slightly swung in a different balance or whatever. And I think the risk of having a plan, even if you've got a 12-month plan, you could get 12 months down the track and go, oh no, I didn't do any of the stuff that was on my plan, or I only got 20% of it done. And you focus on what you didn't get done from the plan. You don't focus on all the other stuff that you did do, because something happens with your time and you do other things, right? Even if it wasn't what was on the plan, you've had professional development, or you've had other sort of connections and relationships nurtured, or you've done, created something else that has been worthwhile, but you accidentally forget to focus on that stuff. And you focus on the things that you haven't done. So you kind of feel that dissatisfaction or that, oh no, I've failed again sort of thing. I think I'll just go and eat toast. I just think it kind of sets you up for success. And as a business planner, business strategist, that sounds really strange for me to say, because I am big on planning and I am big on having some sort of structures and that sort of thing. But I'm more about having, I guess, a bit of a vision and more of like a lifestyle goal in terms of how do you want to set your business up so that it gives you what you want for your life, not how are you going to set up this business so it's an empire that someone else runs. So in the beginning, it's really got to be about what works for you, what feeds your soul, what feels easy to you, like we were saying before. I remember after I did one of my very first offers and I had about 8 clients who were doing this program with me, I spoke to my coach and I said, why are these people paying me for this? This is so easy. It's just, it was like an Excel spreadsheet that we did some planning in and there was something else. And I was like, how are they paying me this much money just to do this? They could go and do this themselves. And I had a lot of guilt around that. And she said, yeah, but Claire, you've got to remember, this is easy for you. That's the whole idea. It's not easy for everyone. It's the whole idea is that it does feel easy for you because it's aligned to your gifts. It's not aligned to their gifts. That's why they're paying you to do it. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That's the whole idea, that it has to feel good, easy, yeah. aligned. Yeah.
And that is really important, as we said, that for us to recognize and for people to, you know, listening to recognize what are their skills, what are they great at, and obvious, and what comes easy to them, and that necessarily won't come easy to others. And then trying to, as you were just saying, they're justifying the people were paying you money for something that's so easy to do.
That's
what makes us all so different, isn't it? And you know, I've got friends that are bookkeepers, and they love it. They just got a passion about bookkeeping, and please just shoot me now before I have to do anything like that. You know, I can do it, and I can cope, and things balance. But what would I rather be doing? I'd rather be having a conversation with Claire.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the beauty of it. And I think when we stop coming from that space of being a yes girl and just saying yes to everything to please people or to get the clients or to make the money or whatever, and you actually say, yeah, I could do that, or, you know, even if it's something that you can do and you're pretty good at, but you really hate doing it because it's not something that you enjoy, it's such a better use of your time and of their time and their money and someone else's time and community, of especially of women entrepreneurs, to look after each other and to say, you know what, like I'm pretty good with business numbers and I could sit there and do your bookkeeping. Not that I'm a bookkeeper, but I quite enjoy the business finance side. Oh, like in proportion. I would never do it for anyone else because I'm not a bookkeeper, obviously. But if someone said, could you do my finances or my budget or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, I could, but I don't really want to. I'm really good at doing it for myself, but I'll put you on to someone else who I know can do it. And likewise, someone who's a bookkeeper would, you know, someone might say, are you good at organizing things, or can you help me do my project plan? They similarly probably could do it as well, but they know that it's not their thing that they enjoy. It's the thing that Claire does, so they'll refer it to me. So if we're all working in our zone of genius more or less all of the time, we're actually a lot more productive. We're actually a lot more content in our business and that sort of thing. So I think it's difficult because at the beginning especially, you really just want to kind of, you know, say yes to everyone and keep everyone happy and make some money and all of that sort of thing. But in the long term, it's just, it actually is quite harmful to your brand if you're saying yes to everything, because you become known for nothing.
Yeah, and that's a very important factor as well, isn't it? Because that people will pay for a specialist, and they'll pay more for a specialist than they'll pay for a general practitioner. Yeah. So recognizing that what is your specialty and really honing those skills, because that's what people will be willing to pay for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also being really flexible with that and trying things out. I know when I, before I started in online business, I used to say, I'm really techie. Like I'm really good at computery stuff and all that sort of thing. And then I kind of started getting into the, you know, dipping my toe in the online business pond, and people were mentioning these names of programs that I'd never even heard of. And I'd go and check them out, and some of them were very intuitive and easy to pick up, and some of them were just like reading another language, and I just did not get it. And I was like, okay, I'm not techie. And that was a little bit scary to me, because I thought, you know, I was kind of the person in the office that often people would come and say, hey, do you know how to do this? Or can you help me with this? Or can you have a look at this? And I'd always be able to work it out. And then all of a sudden I thought that I was that person, and I'm like, oh, I'm actually not that person. But then I found a couple that I was good at. Now, you know, there's probably 10 or 12 programs that I absolutely adore and I teach them now. But it's been a bit of a process. You know, it's not just your average corporate office stuff. When you're working in a virtual environment, there's a lot of other stuff that goes on, and most of it is pretty basic, but it's a pretty steep learning curve at the beginning.
But specializing in those 10 rather than the other 400 that are out there as well. And that's really important, you know. And I've spoken to quite a few people who are on different social media platforms and very skilled at delivery in all of those. But they focus on one in particular, and then they become the expert in that in that field. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we're talking about is some of the problems that you see from the people that you're working. Is it mostly women that you work with, or it's spread across?
I'd love to work more with men, and now that my business model is a bit more niched in terms of the services, I would love to start working more with men, especially men who work in women-dominant industries. So alternative therapies, maybe, or natural therapies and all of that sort of thing. I haven't started yet, but yes, it is mostly women who I work with. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so the problems they come across that you're seeing when they're moving into their business or they're working in their business.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about confidence.
Yeah, probably.
That real lack of confidence.
Yeah, I think confidence is a really big thing. Confidence and probably overwhelm are the two things. So confidence is more, prevalent, or a lack of confidence, I suppose, is more of an issue in the startup phase, like in the first 1 to 2 years, I think, and pre-startup as well, in just having that, not knowing what you don't know sort of thing, or knowing what you don't know and not quite having the confidence to go forward and give it a try sort of thing, because it can be very overwhelming. And I guess with more established business, the overwhelm is a big thing, because we do tend to kind of go along and we're all good and everything's fine. And then, you know what it's like. You kind of have these massive ups and then these big downs and these massive ups and these big downs. And that in itself, just the process of having ups and downs, can be quite overwhelming, because you're like, oh, here we go again. Or you get to this point where everything's going along really beautifully and you're sort of waiting for something to go wrong almost. And you've probably been here and you're like, why is everything going so easy? It's almost like when the kids are too quiet. Why is it too quiet here? What's going on? What's about to happen? What am I about to hear break and crash and all that sort of thing? So I think overwhelm can be a big thing.
And that's something that's waiting for that shoe to drop, isn't it? And that's a bit of a shame that you're seeing that, because people, enjoy the ride when things are going right, and then looking for the next direction rather than, I'd feel quite heavy if I was thinking about, oh my gosh, what's going to go wrong? What's going to happen next? Everything seems to be going too well at the time.
Yeah.
How do you work with people who are, feeling in that state?
It's a really good question. I think the biggest thing is to take some time. So when it's in a peak and everything's good, it's often when we're actually less actively seeking the next thing. So we're in launch, or we've launched something and we're beginning the delivery of whatever it is, or you're working with a new client or something like that. And then what often the crash is when that finishes and you're like, oh crap, I forgot to do the next part, the next bit of business development, if you want to call it that, or the next, set up for the next thing that's going to give me income, or the set up for the next thing that is my next lot of speaking or my next lot of webinars or something like that. And then you go through this kind of self-doubt, like, oh, I'm so stupid. I should have worked that out. I should have remembered that, or all that sort of thing. So I think for me, having gone through that process so many hundreds of thousands of times, it feels like, that one of the big things is just to have that consistency of whatever it is that you're doing. So whether it's content creation and having a funnel of things sort of going out. So if you're doing a blog a week, then there's got to be the content upgrade. So you're always giving and giving and giving, but you're not necessarily having to sit at your computer and do it. So I'm big on batching, as you know. So I think it's that whole preparation, so that you can almost be there when you're not there, and there's some sort of safety net for that. So that's, I guess, where a lot of my stuff comes from, is having a foundation and a safety net. And every time I talk about this, my hands kind of make this shape, and I keep thinking of like a hammock, where you've kind of got this sling that is there as a thing that's going to catch you, and it can be wide or it can be skinny, or it can be you can sit up in it or you can lie down in it. It's kind of still flexible, but there's a thing there that makes sure you're not going to fall onto the grass, right?
Yeah.
I'm picturing us next to the beach, of course, because that's what we do.
With a glass of a cocktail in
our hand. Cocktail, yeah, and someone putting grapes in your mouth and fanning you with a palm frond, of course.
That's got it. You got it. We've got the picture.
It's just what I picture. I don't know. It just always comes into my head when I think of all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, dog's barking in the background, of course.
Yeah, I can hear.
Covering perfectionist.
What happens when we are at home doing these interviews.
Isn't it gorgeous? I know. We'll talk about this beautiful home-based stuff. The first interview I was having, just as a side note, when I was doing the recovering perfectionist, someone was interviewing me about the recovering perfectionist, and the dog started barking, and she was like, it's perfect really, isn't it? You can't do it perfectly. And I said, yeah, exactly. I'd be a hypocrite. anyway, yeah, so I think it's about, for me, having some structures and some foundations in place so that when those things do happen, it's not complete rock bottom and all that sort of thing. And I guess the other thing is just about, you know, being completely real and, you know, I hate the word, but authentic in how I show up. Like, I'm not going to teach people to be okay with rolling with the punches if I'm going to only put my best days up on the internet and on Facebook and that sort of thing. So I think it's about, you know, as a community of womenpreneurs, especially like exactly what just happened, it's about being completely authentic and completely real and not making out like we're all sitting poolside sipping pina coladas and, you know, working 2 hours a week and making squillions of money, because it's not like that. And it's okay to say it's not like that.
Yeah. I love it when you go to, you know, different courses that promote, you know, the $40,000 training session and this is what you'll achieve if you do this, and the people that are training us are the ones in the room training us. They're not actually on the beach doing that themselves.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a good thing to enjoy though, and I think that's part of the beauty of working for yourself. And I love the word that you've used, batching, because that's what I do as well, but in big chunks. You know, I wrote 26 blogs at the beginning of the year, so that I've got them going out fortnightly, and they're all coaching blogs and come from my training material. So I know that's done, and just getting everything pre-done so that it's not stressful. And that way, when somebody says, "Hey, do you want to stop and have lunch and a coffee?" I'm going, "Yeah, that's cool," because I've got things done, organized. They're going to happen anyway. Oh yeah, I know when you started talking, I'm thinking, oh, this is, yeah, we're so alike that. But it just makes sense. It takes stress off. You know, I am very, very organized and systematic and structured, so I can be flexible. And
absolutely, yes.
That is just, it's so powerful to be able to do that. And it does take off that stress of feeling overwhelmed because you know that it's all going to happen anyway. I mentioned earlier I'm going for a month in the States in a few weeks' time, and everything is already scheduled so that when I'm away, it doesn't really even look like that I'm away. Things will be popping up anyway.
Absolutely.
And you can just enjoy the holiday then.
Totally. And look, I think there's this really interesting conversation that goes on about batching, and some people love it, like you and I, obviously. We totally get all of that sort of thing, and it is productivity-wise very effective. But some people really hate it, and they prefer to just, you know, follow the impulse, and when the inspiration hits, then they sit down and they write their blogs or whatever. And I have to say, I'm a fan of both sides. Like, I am absolutely – if I get the creativity stick, I completely will also sit down and pump out a heap of blogs and that sort of thing. So I'm not saying don't do that and don't – follow your creativity.
No, I agree. Sort of I do the same thing as well.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's having a foundation so that if everything else goes wrong, or if you want to take a holiday, lo and behold, some people actually do take holidays, which is the whole idea of having your own business, your own boss, and you don't have to ask someone permission.
Yes.
That you can do it, and it doesn't completely, you know, you're not having to start from scratch when you come back from holiday because of, you know, your content, and people have just literally forgotten about you in the last month. It's just becomes a non-issue because you've got all of this stuff kind of sitting there and it's ready and it's serving your people. It's not just, it's a 50-50. Like, it's obviously serving you so that you can not have that issue of overwhelm, and so you can enjoy your time and not be stressing out about having to do things while you're away. But it's also serving your people. Like, they are there, and once they're used to getting that from you, they miss it if they don't get it. So it's doing them a favor. It's helping them, and we're all out to help each other. We're all out to educate and help and inspire and show and teach and all of that sort of thing. So it's not all about us. It's about our people, right? So I think anything to do with your content and batching. I mean, you could batch anything. You can batch doing your finances, you can batch doing your social media, you can batch doing your business development, you can batch anything. It's a really effective way to get your head in the game and to make sure that you're being really productive and efficient with that sort of thing. But if we talk about it in terms of specifically, like you said, with your blogs and that sort of thing, like, that's amazing. And I talk about this a lot, as you know, and one of my big things is to say, if you're trying to start batching, don't do 26 in a row. That's awesome that you can do it. But you've been doing it for a long time, right? Most people, if I said, go and sit down and write 26 blogs, they would probably never talk to me again.
It's just a little overachiever in me.
I know, right? but I think I'd probably be laughed out of the place if I said that to most of my
I absolutely agree. It was just flowed.
go and write two blogs and 30 social media posts, but take yourself out for a Saturday morning. Go to a cafe that's got Wi-Fi, take your headphones and listen to your favorite tunes, order your favorite breakfast and some coffee, and make an actual date of it for yourself. So it doesn't have to be a chore that you would rather go and straighten your hair or polish the cutlery rather than sit down and write your blogs. Like, make it an actual event almost. And if you do that sort of thing once a month, you actually start to look forward to it. And where it comes back to the following the energy thing, something that I'm a massive fan of and that I've been talking a lot about this week is, I often, as I think everyone does, you know how everyone says, I had this awesome idea this morning when I was in the shower, or last night when I was in the shower, I had this thing that came into my head. Everyone is always in the shower when their best ideas come to them. So I have this thing, like I get out of the shower and I've got almost like a whole paragraph or the paragraph and the rest of the ideas for a blog. So I'll literally quickly type it into either my laptop or my phone, or I very rarely write it in note form because I try and be paper free most of the time. But then when I come to do my batching, I've got like four or five or six first paragraphs of all of these blogs. So I can read the paragraph. I get excited about it. I'm using the same language and I just have to finish it. My blogs are pretty short. They're about 500 words each usually. They're pretty lighthearted. They're a bit bullet pointy. There's lots of bullet points in them. And there's sometimes like a thing that will accompany them, like a checklist or a PDF or something like that. But it means that I've still captured the essence of the excitement and the idea that came when it came, but I didn't have to sit down and write 500 words then and there. I can save that for my coffee date on Saturday morning when I'm going to go and take myself out for breakfast and do all my blogs. Like, how nice is that? It's almost like a reward, you know? Yeah.
No, and that is, and it seems, and it makes it that it isn't a chore. It, as you said, it's something that you're just going to, really enjoy doing.
Yeah,
and writing those ideas down is just such a great idea. I text myself because I go back to the text. If I put on the notes in my phone, I don't go back to it. So I text myself, and I'm writing another book, and so I haven't started yet with the whole format to put it together, but I keep coming up with these great chapter headings and then subpoints within it. Yeah. So, and I do that just before I go to bed at night, and I go, oh, that's a great idea. Mm. The first night I made the mistake of not doing that. And then I've woken up thinking, oh, I thought I was going to remember that, but I didn't.
What's wrong?
And so now as I go to bed, it's been happening this whole week, this whole book with all the chapters have just been coming to me, and I just keep texting myself these things. I wake up in the morning and I've got a whole lot of chapters. So that's my plan on Saturday, is to put all of this together and do the planning for the book and write a bit of a synopsis so I know where I'm heading and what I'm doing with it. So but it's, you've got to do that. If and I'm with you, if something comes, an idea comes, or something's just flowing, don't just go with it and enjoy it and record it or however you want to, but don't let it slip past you, because it's meant to come if it comes that easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was running a workshop yesterday, and we talked about content systems and that sort of thing. I do this kind of training quite a bit as well. You and I were talking about outsourcing before we started recording. So I'm a big fan of also having some of those systems and structures in place that says, every time I write a blog, this is what I do. And it's almost like a checklist. I use Asana. I'm a massive fan of Asana for all of my workflows and delegation and that sort of thing. But and I've got a beautiful team of VAs who help me with the distribution of all of my stuff, as well as my admin and whatnot. But I've got a system that basically I write the blog and I write a couple of different angles and the like the intro paragraph or like a little hook sort of thing. I pick the images and that's it. So that's all I do. But then I've got someone else who comes in and processes that. So puts it on the website, makes the images in Canva, puts it into my newsletter, schedules it to social media, like now and in 2 months and 4 months and 6 months and whatnot. So I get a good 30 pieces of content from every blog that I write over the next year or so. And in that sense, it's really good. Whether or not you're doing it yourself or you're getting someone else to do it, it gives that consistency and it just makes it easier. If you're doing it, especially if you're doing it batching and you're only doing it once a month or once every 3 months, or in your case, once every year, which is pretty amazing. that means that you're not having to reinvent the wheel every time you do it.
Absolutely.
You're not having to think, where else did I put that? What font did I use? What's my password for that thing? What's the link for that folder? Like everything's in one place. So you can literally just go through and tick and flick everything. And then if and when you're ready to outsource and get someone to do it for you, they can go through and tick and flick everything. And then if they stop doing it and someone else does it, someone else can do it. There's always this beautiful consistency and you're not having to waste time trying to remember all of the other things at the same time. So yeah, and anything, I'm a fan of anything that makes your life easier, as you can probably tell. Anything that makes life easier. I had someone recently said, oh, I don't really want to do that just because it's the easy way. And I'm like, why not? What are you talking about? That's not a good enough reason. Just because it's the easy way is not a good enough reason to not do it. Just do it. Do the easy thing. We've got better things to do with our time than do everything the hard way.
It makes a lot more sense just to do things if it's easy rather than trying to push against it. Yeah, it's and one of the things, you know, talking about tasks, I do love choosing the images for my podcasts and my blogs, and I do love creating them. It's something that I know it would be easily to outsource, but it's my opportunity to be my creative, you know, and I love doing it. So I do it at night when you're tired and you don't want to do things, and I save it for then so that it brings me a lot of joy and I can sit and do it for a couple of hours. And then again, I batch it as well. So you've got them done.
I think you and I are just similar. I do exactly the same sort of thing. Like I don't like doing client work at nighttime because I'm not on my game. I'm not being as efficient as I normally would be. But, you know, I'm not really into telly or whatever. So if my husband's watching TV, I'll just kind of fluff around on the computer. But I do my creative stuff then. And using programs like Canva is just fills my cup with creativity and all of that sort of thing. And I absolutely love it. I did graphic design for a little while, as in like 6 months, and I was dreadful at it about, I don't know, 10 years ago or something, 10, 11 years ago. Now I've rediscovered Canva. It's like a little, it's a little almost like a hobby. So it's really fun and it's play, and I really enjoy it. And funnily enough, a lot of people say, do you do all your own designs? And I say, yes. And then they say, will you do it for me? And I say, no. Although I probably should. But again, I come back to that thing like, yes, I could do it, but I'm just going to do it for myself for the moment. So, yeah.
I know, and just enjoying it for yourself and having something. And I treat that as a little reward as well. And I think that's something that's important for people to do, is to have something that is a reward for themselves when they've been doing a lot of work, is to just go and find something like that that you enjoy and reward yourself with it. It's work, but it doesn't feel like it.
That's right. And something I heard interesting, I went to a conference about a month ago, called the Artful Business Conference, and it was all a lot of creative people, a lot of creative businesses, a lot of makers, and that sort of thing. And one thing that they said was, when you start turning your hobby into a business, you have to find another hobby, because you don't want your actual hobby that turns into a business to start feeling like work. So you need to get another hobby. So that's where you see, I think, a lot of these amazing makers who are just so creative, and everything they turn their hand to, they get good at, and they get good at it, and then they start selling it. So they move on to the next project. And I think in the less creative businesses like mine, like I still think of mine as kind of creative, but it doesn't really fall into the creative businesses. It's more strategic. I do work a lot with creatives, and I think that's the same sort of thing. So, I would almost have put organizing and planning as a hobby. Like every time one of my kids has a birthday, and they're only two and four, that I think, oh, good, I can get my event planning, fun hat on. And my best friend says things like, it's not another Pinterest party, is it, Claire? And things like that. It almost becomes like that was kind of a hobby, and now I do it as my business. So I'm okay with letting it go. I don't have to do that in my personal life anymore. We can just go to the park and have cake. But then I get other things that I get interested in. So, I guess the whole thing is that you don't have to be put into a box. You don't have to say, I'm going to do this and that's it, and I'll never think of anything else again. It is such a process, and it's such an experiment, and it's okay to I'm just repeating myself now, but it's okay to try things. And if it doesn't work, then stop doing it. And if it does work, keep doing it. It's pretty simple. Nothing is going to kill you.
The experimentation thing is just so vital. And just to keep flexible with it, you know, for me saying, okay, I've done these so that every 2 weeks I've got a blog coming out for the whole year. And my other goal is getting my online training program up. And I did have that set for the 1st of July. And I've got it all written and ready to go. But I've come across a different format, a different coaching process that now I've gone, okay, I don't have to have that done by the 1st of July because I want to trial this and do this a bit different. I'll go away on my holidays and then I'll come back and then look at how I'm going to do it. So there's no pressure on me. I don't have to. And you brought that up early. You know, we focus on what we haven't achieved and what we're, that's where that sense of overwhelm comes from, other than just saying, okay, just move the date out. It's just a date. Yeah. It's just a line in the sand. Just rub it out and move the next line.
Exactly. And how gorgeous is that? How amazing is that?
It's taken me a little while to get there. I'm a perfectionist as well on certain things. So, but now it's just, okay, it's not, things are, I'm choosing that they're, I'm going to say they're not out of my control, but it's something I've just chosen to allow to happen in its own time, but still keep rein on it, you know. So,
and well, I guess where, it's that, like everything happens for a reason, you know. Some things come out, and some things that you, in the process of creating thing A, thing B kind of emerges as actually the thing that you're working towards. You just kind of got muddled up in what the finished product was or what the all that sort of thing. So I think I'm a big fan of everything happens for a reason, and as hard as it is to stomach that sometimes, it seems to kind of always prevail, especially in online business, that things just kind of just happen, don't they? And it's that things, it never rains, it pours. It's always either, not always, but it's often like nothing happens and then one thing will happen and then everything happens. So it's not like a gradual thing, and it does peak and flow and it ups and downs, and you kind of got to go with the energy of that and just be okay with it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is be okay with it. I was heading to do a presentation early one morning a couple of months ago, and I had a car accident, and I wasn't hurt, but the car was, it was 100 k's an hour on the motorway. So it was very, very fortunate. But then that sort of threw out the morning, didn't it? Because I had 40 people at this event waiting for me to turn up to present and wasn't able to be there. And in the past, I would have gone into a bit of a stressed out meltdown, but I just made a phone call and said, just apologies, this is the way it is, and I'm presenting there this month instead. Yeah. But it's and they dealt with it there, you know, just went along with what was going to happen. But it's just allowing it, things to go, well, that's the way it is. It's obviously something's meant to happen like this, and just deal with it and go and fix up the problem at the time.
Now,
some takeaway points, Claire, that the listeners can go, wow, that's, I mean, we've, other than the whole last 40 minutes of amazing takeaway points, it's just, you know, those three, sometimes people just hear those last three as well, which.
Yeah, sure. Look, I think it's probably been a bit of a central theme, so I'm probably just repeating myself, but that whole kind of trust the process, like I use that as a hashtag all the time. I know it's a bit probably all over the place, but I really feel like once you've gone through those first couple of processes being, I'm all the way up and now I'm all the way down and now I'm back up again and now I'm back down again, now I'm back up again. And every time you get down, you, instead of going, oh no, I'm down again, what happened? Oh my gosh, I shouldn't do this. Self-doubt. I think I'll just, you know, pack it all in or whatever. After the first couple of those kind of peaks and troughs, when you go, oh, I'm back up again, and that was interesting because I was just down last week and now I'm back up. Okay, what's happened? And then next time you go down, you, instead of getting all macabre and all sad about things, you kind of go, oh, we're here again, are we? Right, okay, right. Let's just ride this one out, or put down tools and have some me time today, or reflect, or journal, or like whatever helps you kind of get through that process. But it's observing it rather than being part of it. Being able to sort of step back and go, okay, this is just part of the process. It'll all be fine. When I talk about this, there's a quick story of when I think I'm going to call it the second low trough for me. There was a big up, and then there was a little down, then there was a massive up, and I was literally walking through Coles. I'd gone a bit early. I'd ordered sushi for my kids for dinner. I'd gone into Coles to go and get like some milk and bread or something super basic, and I was literally walking through Coles, literally thinking, wow, this is awesome. It's all happening. I've made some money and this is really good. It's only taken a couple of months to get to this point. And I slipped on a grape and I smashed my knee. And it was horrendously painful. I've got a bad knee anyway, and it was the bad one. Wow. And I was almost stuck on the floor. I literally couldn't get up. And there was about 10 people that just stood around looking at me. And I was all teary, and I was finally got up. And then about 20 staff came and kind of mobbed me, and it was all really overwhelming. So that happened. Anyway, that was fine. Mm. Then I got the milk and the bread or whatever. I went and got the kids. I got halfway home, and then one of them said, "What's for dinner?" I was like, "Oh my God, I forgot to get the sushi." So we turned around, went back, got the sushi, then got another halfway home, and both kids were vomiting in the back seat. And it was just like one of those, I went from being, "This is the best day of my life," to, "This is the worst day of my life," within the space of about 45 minutes. And it was just, wow. And I literally, it was like, what just happened? Mm. What just happened? And I posted into a business group that I'm in. And I just said, like, probably that night after another glass of wine and some ice on my knee, and the kids were in bed and not vomiting anymore, and said, "So this has been my afternoon. Can someone explain to me what the hell just happened?" And everyone just said, "You've just been grounded. Like, you've literally I was kind of floating off going, woohoo, this is awesome." And the universe just went, "Hang on a minute, let's just get realistic." But I didn't listen. And so I ended up on the floor and, you know, it was the worst afternoon ever. Not that it was the worst afternoon, but it was just a crap afternoon. But I just thought, when someone, you know, a few people sort of explained it in that sense, I was like, okay, now I get it. Like, it was just a really beautiful, it was probably, you know, part manifestation and part universe just going, "Hang on a minute, let's just calm the farm here and, you know, settle in a little bit." So understanding that and kind of going, "Oh, okay, that's cool." And then the next time it happens, you go, "Yep, that's fair enough. I totally needed a bit of grounding there." It actually helps you to sort of even out those ups and downs. Anyway, that was a long way of saying the takeaway point is trust the process, because
it is so valuable just to understand that as well. I've got a very similar story of just being out of control, because mine was control, and just being out of control. And you know what? The world didn't collapse. It was very enlightening, just going, wow, look at that. Yep. Everything just flowed anyway.
And I think if everyone thinks about it, we've all got these sorts of stories. And if you read The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, he talks about this upper limiting with up level, you know, every time you kind of get to the new thing, there's this inner sabotage, inner thing. Anyway, we won't go into that, but there's a really interesting.
No, but we've got a couple minutes left.
So yeah, no, we'll totally wrap it up.
Yeah.
All right. Point number two is we could just talk
about all of this for hours, I'm sure.
You just for weeks and on end, really, couldn't you? So I think the second one is about kind of following the energy. So like we were talking about before, if you have planned to do something exactly like what you've said, if you've got some big plan and that's what you're working towards, but something else is really pulling you, there's another idea, and, you know, it's, I call it the shiny object. And I have a big thing where you've got a shiny object, write it down or record it with your voice so that you can listen to it in a week's time and hear the excitement and get all the details and get it all out of your head so that it doesn't distract you. But if it's still there and it just won't go away, it needs to be listened to. It's a big, you know, it's obviously a thing that needs to happen. So if you follow that energy, that is the thing that usually works out better, whether it's for you or for your tribe or both. You've got to obviously feed yourself and feed your fill your cup in terms of what you're getting out of running a business and that sort of thing. So if there's something that's really calling you and demanding your attention, give it some love, because there's a reason for it. So follow the energy. Yeah. And I guess the third thing, as we said at the beginning as well, is that everything is an experiment, and it's okay to just try things out. You don't have to have the end product completely figured out before you just get started. It's okay to try and to fail, or to try and succeed. It doesn't matter what happens. Like, everything is a trial. Everything is an experiment, and it's absolutely okay to just have a go.
And that's the thing. All the whole life is an experiment. You know, how Absolutely. Much does your life change from where it was 10 years ago and 20 years ago? That it's just all, as long as it's moving forward or moving somewhere, that's I think that's the vital part, isn't it? It's exactly. it's only when it's stagnant.
As long as you're getting from it something that you want to be getting from it, whether that's money or personal development or just that fulfillment feeling of, you know, I'm making a difference or I'm doing what I want or I'm doing what I love. As long as you're getting from it, if you're doing it and you're not getting anything from it, then obviously it's not aligned. But if you can still enjoy the work that you're doing and enjoy the people that you're working with, enjoy the conversations that you're having and the things that you're creating and sitting on your laptop while your husband's watching TV, making pretty pictures in Canva, if that fills you up and makes you happy, go that's for right. it. That's totally okay. Even if you're a bookkeeper and you do something that's completely non-creative or, typically non-creative and there's something that's totally outside of the box, you can do that as well. It's okay. You don't have to be one thing. You can be lots of different things. It's totally okay.
Yeah, no, that's three really, really good points, plus the last hour of really good points as well. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got some courses coming up and you've got some things happening. The dates might not work out for when this goes live, but people can get in touch with you. How, Claire?
Sure. So my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Claire Barton Coaching, is a good way to get in touch. And I also have a Facebook group, which is called The Recovering Perfectionists. With an S on the end. So I'm super active in there. There's about 400, or so of us in there, all women entrepreneurs. So it's a really beautiful and very interactive group. And yeah, like I was saying before, I am just about to launch in the middle of July 2017, depending on when people are listening, a beautiful new monthly membership called Batch It Crazy, which is Batch It Crazy. So we get together, it's a training platform. So we do lots of training, masterclasses and that sort of thing. And then there's also a weekly plan and do call. So we do a bit of planning and a bit of brainstorming, hot seating and that sort of thing. And then some Pomodoro style work sessions afterwards for an hour. So we can actually batch our social media content, our blogs, podcasts, videos, website content, all of that sort of thing. So that's launching, and at full price it'll be $50 a month in July. The price may change towards the end of the year depending on when this goes live, but yeah, I'm really excited about it. So you can find that at clairebarton.com.au/batchitcrazy.
Fantastic. And just for those listening, Claire is spelt Claire. Because there's a few different versions of Claire, so there we're looking for it. Yeah, I've really enjoyed our conversation. Yeah, I'm sure you and I could actually speak on these topics for hours, as we said.
It's just,
I know. It's great when you have somebody that is, on the same line with you, especially with this systemization and organization. It's very, very cool.
Awesome. Great. Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. It's been super fun. Lovely chatting. I could, like you said, talk about this for hours. So I think we're squeezed in a lot.
It's been fantastic.
Really
appreciated your time, Claire. So that, just to go over that, the best way to contact you again is through the website or the Facebook group?
Facebook page is probably easier. The website is fine as well. There's a contact form, but I'm super active on Facebook too. So the website is just clairebarton.com.au if you're looking for that too.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time, Claire. And so thank you, Claire Barton, the Recovering Perfectionist. We've had a really great conversation this morning and I'm looking forward to catching up probably again in the future because it's just such great information.
Fantastic.
And to all the listeners, bye for now. We'll catch up next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Janine.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.